Hey guys, this talk is called Hacking Secondhand, Obtaining Old Tech. Now first you're probably wondering, who am I? And I'm Famicoman, which is F-A-M-I-C-O-M-A-N. Find me at Famicoman on Twitter, at Famicoman.com. I am an archivist, essentially. I mean that in a physical sense, in that I collect a lot of things. I have over 3,000 vinyl records, I collect video equipment, so I have Betamax, Laserdiscs, Lectavision, I collect old computers, I have about 30 or so old computers, reel-to-reel, audio equipment, old radios, just anything you can think of, I collect it. I also collect digital data, mostly in the hacker media sense. I run something called the IPTV Archive, as well as Anarchivism, which is a group archiving project. I'll throw up links to these in the show notes in case you want to check them out anymore. In the process of getting old tech, you might wonder, well, what experience do I have? And you could say that I have been using secondhand markets since before I was born. I mean, I have grown up going to flea markets and auctions my whole life. My parents have been doing the same thing. And it's sort of sad to think I can tell one of my friends, hey, I'm going to the flea market this weekend, and they look at me like, what's a flea market? People really need to be more aware that there's a ton of really cool places where you can buy stuff. So now you might be asking, why do you need old tech? Well, old tech is actually really fun. You can get some cool little object, some piece of hardware that you haven't seen before and play with it, learn everything about it, have an edge above a bunch of people. So, you know, you tell somebody, oh man, I got this, you know, old DAT tape drive, and they'll be like, what the hell is that? And then, you know, you can of course explain it to them, show them how it works. So it's pretty fun. Old tech also has a simpler design. So you have all of these older electronics, they're a lot more hackable, you can easily find schematics and manuals for them. Think about newer stuff. Technology is getting so much more complex. I mean, it could take someone months to figure out how to crack the potential of any sort of new product. But old tech, you have stuff that's been around 30, 40 years, and people have been messing with it. Take the Atari 2600. It's been out since the 70s, and people are still seeing how to make the motherboard even smaller or adding pause switches that you can hack in. So it's pretty cool. A lot of this stuff is still really widely used in some small circles, and you can still have a lot of fun with it. You can also find a lot of items that they don't make anymore. When you think of the retro gaming scene and everything, everybody's really into that these days. Even besides for finding like an old Nintendo, maybe you're finding old microprocessors. So maybe you're into the old Intels or the old Motorolas, or maybe you're looking for this old radio scanner that picks up a band that nobody puts on scanners anymore. It can be really interesting, and you can find some of this stuff that you would never think you would find. Now, let's get one thing sort of straight right off the bat. This is not a talk about using the internet to find things. When you think about using the internet, you think about eBay. And I mean, eBay is great for hard-to-find objects, because I've been looking around for stuff for years, and there's still some stuff that I have just never found. And that's what's really good about eBay. Now, a lot of people will just say, oh man, I want something, and they'll hop right on eBay. But in fact, this can be, I don't want to say a bad thing, but it could be a waste. Just the other week, I was going onto eBay looking up Commodore 64s, and people had them for $50, $100. And I'm thinking, I got a Commodore 64 for 10 bucks not too long ago. Then I found another one in a box for 20 bucks. I didn't have to pay any shipping, I didn't have to bid against anybody. So really, eBay is good for things that are super hard to find, but other things you can just pretty much find readily available. One thing to note about if you're going to use eBay is make sure that wherever you are, whatever you buy will work in your region. So, you know, you don't want something rated to work in Australia. You don't want to get, like, a VCR that doesn't have the proper AV for your region. So if you're in North America, you don't want a PAL VCR unless you buy an adapter or something. So just keep that in mind. Now, when you think of the internet, you also think about Craigslist. Now, Craigslist can also be great for hard-to-find things, and there's no shipping. For me, I'm not too big a fan of Craigslist. Most of the time, it can just be a hassle. People not responding to emails, or people telling you that they're going to give you a time to meet, and then they just drop off the face of the earth. Some people have a lot of luck with Craigslist, but it's not really my thing. So let's go into how you find old tech. Just starting small, you can use the people that you know. So if you have family or friends, get the word out to them. Tell them that you're looking for something. You know, if you're calling up your friend Bill or something, just be like, oh, by the way, if you happen to know anybody getting rid of old radios, let me know. I'm getting into old radios. You can just tell your family, like, hey, anybody at the office talking about getting rid of stuff, tell them I'm interested in, you know, like Pentium 4 computers. So just get the word out. Let people know that you're looking for things. And usually, which I find kind of interesting, is that when you tell them once, they will never forget. So you can have people for years just dumping off hardware. Just the other month, I had somebody just come by with 3 broken laptops and just drop them off, and I was able to get them mostly up and working. So it's pretty cool that people will remember that you're really into something and just drop off stuff out of the blue. So that's pretty cool. Another thing to think of is if you fix computers. So we all know that it's really easy to play tech guy for family and friends. And if you're setting up a new computer or you're fixing something, ask if you can take away the old hardware. So, you know, you're setting up a new computer for your friend, be like, hey, you got this old crappy computer, you mind if I take it? And usually they'll just be like, sure, go ahead, I was just going to throw it out anyway. So you can take away old stuff, that's another way to get things. So now we're going to move into something a little bit wider, like yard sales, flea markets, stuff like that. Before I go into it, there's some preparation rules that I'd like to give out there. So when you're going to yard sales, do not knock on doors. A lot of people like to go out really early, so you'll call them early birds. Like if you were to go to a yard sale or something and you'll ask if they have something, they'll be like, no, but there was this guy here at like 6 in the morning asking for the same thing and I had to turn him down too. So this can seem like a good thing to do, just go out before anybody else is out, or if the yard sale, like before it even starts, going out and trying to get things from people. But really, this is pretty disrespectful, and it's kind of frowned upon in the yard selling scene. So this is something not to do. Something else to keep in mind is when you see something that catches your eye, pick it up. If you're walking along and you see this old computer and you're kind of looking from afar, and you're like, hey, that looks pretty cool. Don't just stand there and stare at it. Go over and actually physically grab it, because while you're sitting there thinking about it, somebody else will go up and try to buy it. It's happened to me before. So if there's something that interests you, go over, touch it. That kind of shoos away everybody else. Also something to consider is that the time to buy is when you see it. If you're at a flea market or a yard sale, and you see something that you like, and you think, oh, I'll just come back maybe in an hour or so, and then I'll get it. That's not a good idea, because it'll probably be gone. Somebody will offer them lowball figure and it'll just disappear. So don't think that it'll be there. It's not like a retail store. Something else to consider is to go early, even if this means programming your GPS the night before. So if you're making a list of yard sales, it's a good idea to program them all into the GPS the night before and then go out early. So I'll cover this a bit more later. Also, take a pen, business cards, and cash. Pen and business cards, that's basically so you can write down your information or get information. A lot of times you're buying something, like say you're going out and you're buying a computer, and the guy will be like, hey, you like old computers? I get them in all the time. Give me your name and number, and I'll call you if I get anything in, which is really cool. So you definitely want to have some information to give them. Cash, also very important. None of these places are going to take credit cards. None of these places are going to take checks. Cash is king. You need cash. Have cash. Have a lot. Something else to consider. Don't dress to impress. And it's sort of the same principle as you want to set a certain quality about yourself. You don't want people to think that you're full of money. If they're selling a computer for $20, you don't want to look like you have the money. Some people will change their prices just depending on how you look. So if you go out in like a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, people are going to think that you have less money than if you're out there wearing a suit. I don't know why you'd be wearing a suit, but even just like more name brand clothing. It can be, I guess, a little sketchy to do something like that, but it helped. Also, don't be afraid to haggle. So a lot of these places, yard sales, flea markets and everything, it's almost encouraged that you haggle. So if somebody's saying, hey, you know, you can have this for $15, well, how about 12? You know, try to get them down. But something to consider is to know when to stop haggling. I've been to countless places where somebody goes, hey, how much is this? And the person says, oh, it's a dollar. And then the interested person goes, oh, well, how about 50 cents? 50 cents, you're not really breaking the bank. It can be disrespectful to go way too low. Just make sure that you don't get on anybody's nerves. Because sometimes somebody will give you the price, and then you'll go too low, and then they'll actually increase the price. So you don't want to piss anybody off. Something else to consider is that people will haggle more later in the day. So say it's winding down, it might be like 2 in the afternoon, something like that. A lot of people don't want to drag this stuff back home with them. They don't want to drag it back into their house. So if you offer something a little bit lower than you would think would be appropriate, that's usually okay. Just because people are trying to get rid of stuff. They'd rather sell it for a lower price and just throw it out. Something else to consider is to avoid the word antique. So if you're thinking about going to an antique sale, an antique mall, it's probably not a good idea. People who sell in antiques think that things are much more valuable than they actually are. You can get something at a flea market for probably half as much as you could pay at an antique sale. They're great sometimes, but if you're looking to only spend a little bit of money and get a lot of stuff, antique sales are not for you. So let's go specifically here into yard sales, garage sales, stuff like that. One thing to note about yard sales is that it's all about Saturday morning. Usually Saturday at 8 or 9 is when people start opening up their yard sales. So what you want to do is get a local paper. Any local paper, your area probably has one. It's usually free. And then go into the listings and there will be a ton of yard sales in your area. Take a highlighter, take a pen, make a note of the ones that you're interested in. There's no real giveaway. Some people list what they have, but usually everything is just hit or miss. You never really know. So you make a list, you program your GPS, and then you leave early in the morning. I know a ton of people who are like, yeah, let's go out to yard sales, and then they get up at like 10 o'clock. That's not how you do it. You probably want to leave the house at about 7, maybe 7:30. You want to go hit the farthest one away first, and then work your way back to where you are. That's the best way to do it. Of course, make sure that you don't go to places too early. If somebody's setting up outside, you can usually come up and start looking around, but sometimes people will tell you to go away until they're finished setting up. Keep that in mind. Something else you can do if, you know, the local newspaper's not cutting it is just check for signs on utility poles. If you're driving around, you see a sign on the pole for the power lines or something. Usually people like to advertise that they're having a yard sale. Also, when you're actually at the yard sale, make connections. Usually you go to a yard sale, somebody's sitting there, they say, hey, good morning. You can be like, it's like, hi, how are you? Do you happen to have any so-and-so? And then you can ask what they have. Maybe they'll tell you, oh, no, we don't have any of that out, but I think we have some in the basement. Maybe they'll go look for it. Maybe they'll ask for your information so they can call you later. Stuff like that. Also, you might find a house sale, which is very interesting. That's when everything in the house is for sale. These can be run by the homeowners, usually if they're moving or if someone passes away, or it can also be an external company. So sometimes a lot of these things have fixed values, and that's usually if it's they hire a company to take care of everything in the house, or if you're actually with the homeowners, you can haggle pretty much because they're just trying to get rid of stuff. Now we move on to flea markets, swap meets, boot sales. These are usually Sunday morning, just about the same time. You'll have a mixture of dealers who sell there professionally and just people, maybe their yard sale wasn't cutting it, they wanted to come somewhere with more exposure, more people. They're not all on Sunday. Some of these are really oddly timed. Like, I know ones that are on Wednesday mornings, Thursday mornings, and you'd think there's not going to be anybody there, but they're usually packed full of people. It's really odd. But anyway, recognize who you're dealing with if you go to one of these. You get pretty good at telling the difference between a dealer and just somebody coming there to sell stuff. Dealers usually, you know, they have a packed van. You can see how cluttered it is. They have showcases. Everything's presented nicely. They have these nice folding tables. They're usually more organized. Like, they might have a list of prices or if they sold stuff. If you're dealing with someone who just came from their house, they usually set up a little bit later. Dealers, they're usually set up at 7 a.m. But if it's somebody later, they're just starting to set up at 8:30. They're a little bit shaky. They might not know their prices. So just know who you're dealing with. As always, be friendly. So somebody says good morning, say good morning back. Get involved in a little conversation. If you're more personal with them, they will sell you something for cheaper. It is almost guaranteed if you just put forth a little bit of effort to be friendly. Don't be swayed by lines like, it's going for so-and-so on eBay, or I bought it for this much money, or I reduced it this morning, $10. That really doesn't matter. If it's going for something on eBay, they should be selling it on eBay. You don't really care what they bought it for. You don't care that they reduced it. You're just worried about them selling it now. They're trying to get rid of it. You're trying to get it. Don't sympathize with them. That's really the best way to explain it. When you're trying to actually get an item, you can either play smart or play dumb. So let me explain how this works. Say that, you know, you're walking along and you see, oh wow, let's say you see a computer and you want to get a computer for a project or something. So what you can do is you can actually play smart and you can strike up a conversation with the guy and be like, it's like, hey, look, this is a pretty cool looking computer. Is this like an Athlon XP or something? And then, you know, maybe the guy will see that you're interested. You'll get into a conversation about it. You'll ask how much it is. He'll give you a little bit of a lower price. So that'll work out. You can also play dumb. So you can just be like, hey, what kind of computer is this? This is kind of strange looking. And they'll tell you something about it. And you'll be like, I don't even know if I could use this for anything. How about like $10? So offer them some money. This may or may not work, but more often than not, you can work an angle about it. You can also do setups. So if you have two people going, so let's say, you know, you have a friend, he asks the price, he tells you the price, then you start walking away. And then you get him to try to get the price lower as you're walking away. So it looks like you're not really interested, but they're still trying to make the sale. This works a lot better with just normal people instead of dealers. Dealers are usually, I wouldn't want to say tough to deal with, but they're a lot, they've been in the game. They know that if they don't sell it to you, they're going to sell it to somebody else. They go week after week after week to sell stuff at flea markets, where the run-of-the-mill person does it once every couple of years or something. Something to keep in mind is that dealers can also make great friends. So if you become friends with dealers, they're going out and they're acquiring things to sell. So they will look for stuff that they can sell to you. So if you tell them that you're interested in something, they might pick something up that they wouldn't normally do just to hold it for you. So moving on to other types of sales, we also have your rummage sale / college move out sale. They'll just get people to donate stuff that they'd otherwise just get rid of. I think they're also called like jumble sales. Usually they'll set some sort of price on everything. They're not really good for haggling, but their prices are pretty low. They're pretty decent. The thing is, a lot of these open at certain times. Like a flea market, you can just walk on whenever. But these rummage sales, church sales, they have a time, and usually people get in like a line at the door to get in. So when you get in, you gotta scan through quickly, grab whatever you see. You can always put it down later. Just you have to be like a machine. Auctions are fantastic. There are two types of auctions. There's the English auction, which is the traditional auction that everybody thinks about with an auctioneer yelling out the prices. And there's also silent auctions, which are sort of more like eBay, where you write down your name and a bid on a little piece of paper, and then at a certain time, everything is done, there's no more bids in, and then they figure out who gets what. The great thing about auctions is that you can just leave a price. They call it like absentee bids. You can go to an auction preview, so you might not want to stick around from 8 o'clock to midnight at this auction for this one thing that you might want. So you go there at like 5 o'clock, you figure out what items you want, and then you leave an absentee bid, which is the maximum amount of money you want to spend for that item, and then you can go out and spend your night doing other things, and they will call you if you won. I love auctions. You can usually find a lot of interesting stuff. One thing to note is that some dealers for flea markets will actually get a lot of their stuff from auctions. So if there's a lot of stuff nobody's bidding on, they'll offer $5 for a giant box and they'll just get all this stuff, which they will sell out. Besides auctions, dealers will also go to like house sales, which is pretty much the same thing. At the end of the day, if there's a bunch of stuff that isn't selling, they'll offer them $5 and have stuff to sell. The auction is sort of like going to the source. You also have to consider thrift stores and farmers markets. So thrift stores, you know, we all know about Goodwill, the Salvation Army, stuff like that. There's also more ma-and-pop thrift stores out there, which is pretty awesome. Thrift stores usually have, they have interesting prices. Sometimes they're really, really good, and other times they're just terribly expensive. They usually just slap on these prices without knowing what they're doing. But what's really cool is that you can usually haggle with a manager. Cashiers have, like, no sway with the prices whatsoever. But say that there's a ton of Nintendo games. Ask to speak with the manager and be like, hey, you have like 40 games and at $2 a pop, that's a little pricey. How about like 20, 25 bucks? And usually they'll sell it to you, which is pretty cool. Farmers markets, you might not really think about. Usually people just go to them for produce, or there might be some other little niche stores. But a lot of farmers markets actually have like junk stores, secondhand stores. So those are pretty cool to check out. And on top of that, farmers markets also usually throw flea markets every once in a while. So it's good to check out a farmers market and see what they have to offer. And once again, there's a junk shop. You can make friends with the people who run the junk shop. If you buy enough stuff, they might start to recognize you and you can get a relationship going. Now, lastly, in our way of acquiring stuff, you can also get stuff out of the trash. Good thing to do is, in your neighborhood, figure out when the trash days are. So around here, ours are usually Monday and Thursday. So something great to do is on a Sunday night, just drive around the neighborhood and see what people have put out on the curb. You'd be amazed at some of the stuff people would just throw away. You can get old computers. I've got a bunch of old Commodore monitors out of the trash. And this just doesn't stop at around the neighborhood. At flea markets even, if there's like a trash area, I one time picked 3 VCRs out of a trash can. They all worked perfectly. Don't be afraid to get dirty. You're gonna get dirty when dealing with old tech anyway. You might as well check that at the door and just go for what you can get. Also to consider is you should take an item when you see it. So if you're driving around in the pickup truck and you see like the perfect shelving system or something, grab it. You can always drop it off at the front of your house. Because, you know, you might drive around, there's other people doing the same thing, whether they're looking for stuff or just passing by. Somebody will come and take the thing you're interested in. You could also resort to dumpster diving. A lot of people are probably more prone to stay away from, but there's a dumpster outside of a data center or something. You'd be surprised at the kind of stuff that you could find. Now, here are a couple of buying tips in case you're at a flea market, you're at a yard sale, and you see an item you want, but you're not exactly sure what to do to make sure it's a good deal. First thing to do is inspect it. Inspect it, inspect it, inspect it. I can't stress that enough. There might be a lot of dirt on it, but check things. Make sure that the cables are intact. Make sure if there's pieces, all the pieces are there. if it's a computer or something, ask if you can open it up. Usually they'll let you. I mean, ask if there's something that you can test with the functionality, test it. That's very important. It's better figure it out there before you buy it than after you have it at home. If the item is indeed broken and you still want it, because we all like to fix things, see if you can offer them a lower price. Because usually when something's broken, somebody will just assume it's junk, it's trash. But if you offer them a lower price, they'll probably give it to you for a lower price, because otherwise they just think it's worthless. If possible, ask if you can test an item. So if you're at a yard sale, say that you come across an old computer, there's a power cable there, ask if you can plug it in, see if it boots up, something like that. Also, ask if the item works, just flat out. They might just tell you, no, it doesn't work. But having said that, expect everything not to work, no matter what anybody says. People will lie to you just to sell you something. I mean, people do it every day. But expect everything not to work. You won't be disappointed that way. Usually you can tell if somebody's just sincerely telling you that it works. And it's sort of a skill that you pick up, but usually you can just tell when something doesn't feel quite right. Something else to consider is, in the world of secondhand and flea markets and yard sales, there are no refunds. Maybe at like a farmer's market you could get a refund, but otherwise you come back to a yard sale later in the day and it's, sorry, it doesn't work, too bad. After you get your item and you take it home, you might have this dirty item, you don't know what you're doing. Rubbing alcohol and Goo Gone can go a long way. I can't tell you how many things that I have quote-unquote saved just by cleaning them really well. You can also use Retro-Bright if you have yellowed plastics like the old Super Nintendo. And be careful when you're plugging it in or powering it on, because you don't really know what's going on. You don't know why somebody's rid of it. You could have an item that's been sitting out in a shed for 10 years. Something crazy could be going on with it. So, you know, make sure that when you're plugging it in, I've had tons of items, just plug them in, they give you the magic blue smoke. And that's your first cue to just immediately cut the power. So just always be careful. And of course, if you can open something up before plugging it in, that's even better, because you might get out the dust bunnies, or just generally cleaning something before you turn it on is probably a good call. So that's it for Hacking Secondhand. Hope you enjoyed it. As I said before, you can find me. I'm Famicoman, Famicoman. You can find me on Twitter. You find me at famicoman@gmail.com, famicoman.com, and projects. I have my retro tech TV show at obsolete.com, obsoleet, and anarchivism.org, anarchivism. And that's it for me. Hope to talk to you guys again soon.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.